Guide our pastors and our leaders, Lord God, in how these monies are allocated, because it's meant, Lord God, to further your kingdom. We thank you in advance for it. And in Jesus, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good, y'all. He is great. I was studying some things in the Word, and I'm always amazed, and I know y'all hear me say this, but I really am amazed by how God shows me new things in His Word. You know, when people are dying, they have a saying, you know, famous last words. And I thought about, you know, why is it so important to us as a people, as a society, to focus on what a person's last words are? And maybe we do that for ourselves, you know, so that we can have some type of memory of a person, something that maybe speaks to their life or who they are. But I've been with a person that was dying before, my baby sister. And she didn't have many words to say. And I remember her last words to me was water, because she was thirsty. And beyond that, I just had to read her eyes and her body language as I watched her pass from this life to be with the Lord. And most people, when we're dying, as humans, we're not thinking about saying some major word of, you know, something that someone may remember or that may be memorable. We're just focusing on holding on to our last breath. You know, we may be able to feel our hearts beat, but it's not something that the person that's dying normally thinks about. Oh, but our God is different. Jesus was different. As I was reading through the Word, I was reading in John, and I came across what I believe, at least in our Word, and what the Word of God tells us were Jesus' last words. And it caused me to look not just at John, but all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and try to put together what Jesus' words were, his last final words that he gave as he was on the cross. And I took some time and tried to put a timeline together. So from the time that Jesus, after the Last Supper, and after he prayed in the garden, from the time that he was arrested until the time he died, was about 15 to 18 hours. And he spent six of those hours, based on the Word, about six of those hours actually on the cross. And during that time, he said seven different things. He asked God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Speaking of those that were crucifying him. He told the thief that was on the cross next to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So even though he's been beaten and spit on and abused and ridiculed, and he's in the process of being crucified himself, he thought of the thief next to him and promised him salvation. He spoke to Mary and his disciple John and said, "Woman, behold thy son." And he told John, "Behold thy mother." So even in this moment, again, where he is carrying the weight of the sin of the world on him, he's thinking of his mother and making sure that she's going to be taken care of. And I thought about the fact that he called her woman instead of mother, so he wouldn't bring a negative reproach on her in his dying. You know, people that may not have known that she was the mother of Jesus may have tried to hurt her knowing that. So he referred to her as woman. He just thought of all the small details. He cried out to God in one of the Gospels and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In another scripture, to fulfill scripture, he said, "I thirst." In another chapter, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But his final words were in John chapter 19, verse 30, when he said, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.'" And that's the title of this message. It is finished. As believers and as Christians, we know that Jesus died and he rose again. But we don't live like that. We don't live with those words in our hearts, like resonating and really knowing that it is truly finished. For the first time when I read this, I wanted to put some definition to what it is. When Jesus says it is finished, what was he referring to? And the several things that came to mind right away. The first thing was God's plan was finished. When Jesus said it is finished, God's plan for mankind was finished. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From the beginning of time, God had a plan. Jesus was not plan B. We were not an afterthought. He knew from the beginning of time all the things that would happen. And his redemption plan was put in place because he knew that man would fall and that we would need a redeemer. He knew that man would sin and we would be separated from him outside of having sent his son to die for us and to redeem us back to himself. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 24 and 44, he let them know after his resurrection, he reminded them that everything that was written about him in the law, in the Old Testament, every prophecy that was made, every scripture that was written in the book of Psalms and so forth, he said he let them know he had to fulfill all of those things. Even in his final words when he said, "I thirst," he was fulfilling a scripture in the book of Psalms. Jesus knew what God had asked him to do. And he said it is finished because in that moment, in that very moment when he said it is finished, it was. He had carried out what God had called him to do for all of mankind. It is finished. Those three words carry so much weight and so much power. And as Christians and believers, our faith, it should be stronger than what it is. We don't fully understand the weight of what that meant when Jesus stood on that cross and said, "It is finished." The plan that was put in place long before you and I were ever here, long before man was ever even created, had been fulfilled. Joyous, joyous, joyous time. As I was reading through the Gospels, I noted that from noon until 3 p.m. in the afternoon, around about when Jesus died, there was darkness, right? And I was asking myself, where did this darkness come from? Was it because God had turned himself away from the Lord and Jesus was holding all of our sin, the weight of the world on him? It said darkness covered the whole earth during that 3-hour time. And at the moment he died, I'm guessing the light came. Because at that moment, the darkness was gone. Darkness had been defeated. I never noticed that until I read through this and I asked myself, where did the darkness go? Because at that moment when it was finished, it was done and the Father's plan was finished. if you truly believe that God sent his son, that his son died, that he was resurrected and he still lives, then just in that, we can trust every promise that God has given us in his word for your lives personally. Because his word tells us that his promises are yes and amen. So be it. That means if God says it, it is going to happen. It will happen. It will be fulfilled. I thought about all the pieces that God had put in place from the beginning of time. And all of this was just a, think of it like a big puzzle piece. And that moment you had, the entire puzzle had been put together. And that moment when Jesus said it is finished, that was the final piece that was put on that puzzle. And it just brought it all together, all the prophecies, all the promises, all the words that were given, fulfilled in that moment. When Jesus said, it is finished, not only was the Father's plan finished, God the Father, but the enemy's power was defeated and finished in that moment. In Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. It says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see, Satan had a plan, but his plan didn't work. So he and the angels that followed him were kicked out of heaven. And from that moment on, there was a hatred toward us. You and I, because unlike him, we could be reconciled back to God. So his plan has been to destroy us, to kill us, to steal our souls, to keep our focus off the Lord. But see, in that moment when it was finished, according to the word, that plan was done. That plan was over. God's word says there is no, therefore, no, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Salvation doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean you won't have tribulation. We're still going to have pain. We're still going to have hurt. We're still going to have sorrow. We're still going to sin. The difference is the outcome and the result. Because once Jesus said, it is finished, all of those things, no condemnation in him for those who are in Christ. So when you are in Christ and you are walking with him in relationship, and when you accept that sacrifice that he made, no matter what the enemy tries to do to you, even in death, you live. His death conquered it all. It conquered it all the sin, all the problems, all the trials. The things that we go through in life means nothing compared to what we're going to experience in eternity. We were just talking about the kingdom of God coming here. So when Jesus said, it is finished, God's plan was finished, but so was the enemy's plan. His plan to kill, steal, and destroy your soul died that day. Jesus overcome everything. He was an overcomer. And so because he overcame, what does his word tell us? We are overcomers in him. Don't look at your struggles as failure. we are living in our flesh, and yes, we have to die daily to it, and yes, we have issues and we have problems. You will have those until the day that you take your last breath. But see, when you're in Him, when the Lord looks at you, He doesn't see all those things. He sees the blood. He sees the righteousness of God on you and your life. So whatever power that the enemy thought he had over you, what does the word say? Death was swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory. One of the things that we fear most is death. We all want to live. But when you believe what Jesus said when he said it is finished, you also believe that to be absent from this body is to be present with him. Again, another promise in his word. So you don't fear death in the same way. I think we all have a natural, innate desire to want to live, but you don't look at death in the same way. So not only did Jesus is stating it is finished, complete God's plan, but it also destroyed the enemy's power. His power was finished in that moment. And yes, 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 we're still going to have battles. We're still going to have issues, problems, things that we struggle with. But just know that in all of it, Jesus secured the victory for us on the cross. And he noted that by saying, "It is finished." In addition to those things, our redemption was also finished. In Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 10 and read through 14. It says, "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man," speaking about Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." As I was reading about the history and the timing of Jesus' death being around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I also read that that is the time that the priests would normally make their sacrifices in the temple. And this is what this is speaking about. All the sacrifices that man made was summed up in one sacrifice made. God, in the form of a man, gave his life for us, and that sacrifice was all that was needed so that every sin that we committed, past, present, future, would be forgiven, and you and I would be reconciled back to God. This point was particularly helpful for me. And the reason is because, like some of you, I was raised in church. I tell you all the time, my grandfather pastored the church I grew up in. My dad, both of my dads, my mom married twice, so I have two dads in case y'all don't know. But both of them were ministers, so I came from a Christian home. And that's great because I had a good foundation in the Lord. My parents didn't just take me to church. My grandparents, they taught me and showed me what having a relationship with the Lord was like. But as a young Christian, like so many children growing up, I did things because I had to. And it wasn't until later in life when I developed a relationship with the Lord that I was just always condemning myself. I felt like I had to work for something. When Jesus said it is finished, I lived my life like... like I had to do things to gain his love, to gain relationship with him. And I know there are people who live like this as Christians. You beat yourself up over everything you do wrong. And Pastor Lincoln speaks about, you know, people being brought up in legalism. I don't feel like that's what I grew up in, but that's how I live my life. I tried to be the good child. I tried to do everything right. And when I failed, it destroyed me emotionally. And I didn't know what it was to live under grace. And I put myself under the law. You know, I wanted to read my Bible. And if I didn't, if I went to sleep without reading the word, I would just beat myself up. There was no peace in it at all. Now, instead of striving for a relationship, I realize I am in relationship with the Lord. Because when he said it is finished, my redemption was finished. And I was reconciled back to him. And there's nothing that I can do or say that can separate me from that. God's word says in Romans 8, 38 and 9, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I needed to know personally that when he said it is finished, it was finished. My redemption was finished. Done. It was paid for. There was nothing that I had to do. So many of us live our lives just, I don't know if it's works or what it is, but trying to earn the love of God when he has loved us from the very beginning. And he's not wanting us to strive for religion or ritual. He really genuinely wants a relationship with us. And when it clicks in your heart and in your mind that I'm not earning this. I'm not giving my tithe to the church, you know, for a reward. I'm not showing up to church for brownie points with God. You know, I'm not spending time in prayer or praying so I can just check this off my list. No, I want a relationship with him. I'm in his word because it's like the food that I eat. It's something that I need, that my soul desires. It's no longer, I got to read this many chapters a day or no. Like Pastor Lincoln said, you've read the Bible over and over, and I have. Now I'm in it trying to allow the Lord to show me different things that I didn't know, like this. We all know it is finished. But for some reason, when I read it this time, it just stood out to me. Those three words are powerful, and we don't give it enough weight. And we don't absorb it and see it for what it is. In those words, it is finished. So many things were accomplished in that moment. And my hope is that you are encouraged to know that when he said it is finished, God's plan, his redemption plan for us was done. Everything that the enemy meant for evil against you had been overcome. It died. And our redemption was finished as well. When Jesus said, "It is finished," God's work was done. The enemy's power was finished. And our redemption was finished. But what was not finished is the work that he wants and desires to do in you and I. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When Jesus left the earth, he told the disciples, he gave them instructions to wait because he was going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. We're not able to walk in newness of life on our own. Jesus died and he resurrected. And in the same way, you and I are supposed to die to our flesh and become alive in him. We're supposed to become new creatures. But we cannot do that outside of the Holy Spirit. So yes, he said, it is finished, but salvation is finished. But our sanctification process is not. The Lord tells us that he doesn't want us to be conformed to this world, but he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we can't just let it end at Jesus' death and resurrection, because the word says that we're supposed to be like him, right? That's what it says. One day we shall be like him. We're going to be changed into his image. Jesus, yes, he finished the work for us when he died on the cross and he rose again. It is finished. That is finished. Now his work needs to continue in us. Our transformation is not finished. We, as Christians, stand on Jesus dying for our sins. But we personally put it all in vain if we don't live out what he has called us to do. If we don't surrender our life to him and allow that transformation that's supposed to take place, that sanctification that's supposed to take place, if we don't surrender to that. Jesus is patient with us and he's faithful. And I'm reminded that every time I fail, every time I sin, he died for all of that. His word says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What you may see as condemnation may just be conviction, because you're grieving the Holy Spirit that lives in you when you try to walk and live in sin. But Jesus died for all of it. And it's important that we as believers trust in him when he said it is finished. His work is finished. But he still wants to do a work in you. You have to allow that. You have to believe that Satan no longer has power over you, that you have victory in the Lord. Deliverance is there. We have to walk in it. We have to live in it. But that victory has already been won. Amen. If you'll bow with me. Lord, we love you today. And we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. God, your sacrifice, sending your son, Jesus, giving your life up for us. You took a debt we had no way to pay, and you took it on yourself. And your word said, it is finished. You finished the work, God. Your plan was finished. The enemy was destroyed. Our redemption was complete. But we don't fully get that. For some reason, we don't grasp it. And because we don't, Lord, we continue to walk. I don't know. We're not sure of our salvation at times. We don't rest in the work that you've already done, Lord. And my hope is that your word today reminds us, God, that yes, that work is done, but you still want to do a work in us. Help us, Father, to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God, so that your work can be carried out in our lives, God, so that we can draw closer to you, and by doing that, draw others closer to you and closer to relationship with you, Father. We know that we cannot do it on our own, Lord. And so we need you to help us. And so, Lord, we ask that you do that, Lord. We need you today like never before. Remind us, God, every day that the work that you did, it is finished. And we just have to walk in that victory. Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Father, once again, we just thank you for that word. We thank you because it is finished. We thank you because we live from a place of victory, Lord. We thank you because we can truly enter that place of victory that you purchased for us by your blood. So, Father, because your Son finished it, Lord, all those things in our lives that we need to be finished as well, Father, it can be finished as well. Once again, God, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you because you have given us your Son. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us grace and all the things that we need to walk this thing out, Lord. Father, we have no excuse. We have all that we need in you and from you. Once again, God, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen and amen. 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 Once again, let's just go ahead and give the Lord a quick hand for that word. Amen. So real quick, as always, please remember to support the ministry as you are led. We do quite a lot in this church, things that sometimes go unseen. So please, as you are led, please support the ministry. Also, Pastor mentioned it this morning, but he just finished his new book called Show Me Your Glory. And it is available in the lobby and on the QR code, which is behind me. So please feel free to scan it or get your copy in the lobby as well. It is called Show Me Your Glory. Amen. And last but not least, this Saturday at 10 a.m., we are going to have something called Run the Race. It's for the youths. So if you are a Refuge youth, which most of y'all aren't, but if you are, please do feel free to come out from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's going to be a fun time. So if you're free, please come out. And last but not least, that same day at 7 p.m., Pastor John Williams will be with us. So please, Saturday at 7 p.m., Pastor John Williams will be with us. And then he'll be back as well on Sunday for both services. So make your arrangements now. Saturday, I want to see everybody that's here out that evening at 7 p.m. So if you have kids, bring your kids 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let them get, you know, some word, and then you come back at 7 p.m. for the word as well. Amen? Amen. Well, please rise and I'll close us out. Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you. We thank you because it is finished. We thank you because you are the one that was worthy to open the scroll. That is why the angel said, John, don't weep, for there's one found worthy. And that is you, Jesus. That is you. Father, it is finished, Lord. Every addiction, every trial, everything in our lives, Lord, that seems to be winning, Father, we can say it is finished. Not because we are strong, but because you have finished it. You won the victory, and you came back, and you called it ours. So, Father, we thank you for that. Once again, God, let us leave here, Father, with our heads held up high. Not because we are strong, but because we are in you, because we are in Christ. Once again, God, we just thank you. We thank you truly because we have a living hope, Father. Though the world might be afraid of things to come, Father, we have a living hope. We know our future is secure in you. So once again, God, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we've prayed. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. See you guys on Tuesday and Wednesday.